This message is coming to you from the First Baptist Church in Coleraine, Massachusetts. We are located at 81 Foundry Village Road, Coleraine, Mass., with Sunday worship at 11 a.m. and Sunday school for all ages at 9:45. And now, the scripture lesson and message.
This morning, we'll continue in the book of John, Gospel of John, looking at the 21st chapter, the first 14 verses. If you have using the Pew Bibles, you see that starts or is on page 1687. John 21, 1 through 14. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
It's good. It's good to see everybody out this morning. This is a true story. We're still on the same theme of Jesus' resurrection. And it's good to be reminded that the Lord is alive. Amen. And talk a little bit more about what he did before he ascended into heaven. Imagine you're working at something, you're doing something you know really well and you're really good at. And you've probably been doing it for years. You're probably even an expert at it. And then someone comes along and tells you to do it a different way. What would you think? What would you say? Well, that's exactly what happened that early morning when Jesus was on the beach and the disciples were out there catching fish. And we're going to go into detail of this familiar story to some, but you've never heard it preached from me until now. So you're going to learn something new. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful that we could be here this morning. We need understanding of your word. Help us to cast our minds back into history. 2,000 years ago, when you rose again from the dead, you appeared to your disciples that were out there fishing. Give us understanding of your word, we pray this morning, because without you we can do nothing, and we need an enlightenment, because the Bible is spiritually discerned. and save some that need salvation this morning and edify the body of Christ through your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verses 1 through 2, it says that Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. This was the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples. The first two times, remember, was in the upper room. The first time when Thomas or Didymus, right now referred to as most people as Doubting Thomas, poor old Tom, he wasn't there the first time. But then 6 days later, the disciples met again in the upper room, and Thomas was there with them, and he doubted no more when he saw the risen Lord Jesus with his own eyes. He's seeing, he's believing in his case. And he said, "My Lord and my God." So anyway, the Lord took a trip, beach mission, if you want to call it that, to the shores of the Sea of Tiberias, otherwise known as the Sea of Galilee or Lake Gennesaret. Take your pick. It's all the same lake. And it's huge. And there were seven of them, seven disciples there. We don't know where the other four were. Doesn't tell us. And John, who wrote this account of actually what happened, he said there's two disciples. He doesn't even give the names, but he did name a few. And there was originally 12 disciples, but now there's 11. There was only seven there fishing that morning. There was only 11 disciples left altogether because Judas Iscariot, we know, committed suicide already, having betrayed the Lord. And he was so remorseful that he hung himself. You ever played the game or even heard the game Simon Says? Yes? I haven't. I have not a clue what it's all about. But we've got another Simon here who says, "Let's go fishing." Simon Peter. It's obvious who the main man was here, or the main leader of the group was, Simon. Like the others there mentioned by trade, Simon was a fisherman. And that would explain why the other four disciples weren't there, because probably they weren't fishermen. We know that Matthew, for instance, was a tax collector, so he probably wouldn't have a clue, like me, how to catch fish. And he wasn't there either with the other three. We know that these men had been through a lot recently. They'd experienced every kind of emotion that a human being could ever experience. They'd been on a roller coaster of emotions. They'd followed the Lord for 3.5 years. They came into Jerusalem with him when he was riding on a donkey triumphantly, and they believed that he'd be setting up his kingdom on earth. One day he will. But at this time, they were very disappointed. Their dreams were shattered because he was crucified on the cross as a common criminal. And they felt so let down. They had all these aspirations that they'd be part of his kingdom. And they felt let down. What about you? You ever felt let down? Have you ever been let down? Of course you have. You ever felt let down by God? Well, that's probably not uncommon. But God's got big shoulders. He can take it. And if you've got a problem with God, if you're angry at God, probably for good reason, you can tell him about it, and he will heal that pain. But we're all suffering the consequences. It's really not God's fault why we suffer. It's due to the fall and the sin that came into this world, and we're all suffering the consequences. So after Christ's death on the cross, these disciples, they went into hiding for fear of their lives. They were like Jesus. They were marked for murder. And as we know, they were cowering together in the upper room that was locked. And then Jesus suddenly appeared to them out of nowhere in his glorified body. And he said, "Peace, man." No. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. At first, they were petrified. They thought he was dead. He did die. And there he was, suddenly appearing out of nowhere. And he said that it's really me. He tried to assure them that I'm not a ghost. Look, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bones. You know, Jesus had bones in his glorified body. He didn't have any blood. That was all poured out on Calvary's cross. He had a new glorified body. Look at Luke 24:39, if you don't believe me, that Jesus had bones. Anyway, they were relieved. They were relieved when they saw Jesus, that he wasn't a ghost. Now, they'd been through this whirlwind of emotions. There were 1 minute they were petrified, scared to death, and now they're overjoyed all at the same time. A whirlwind of emotions that they'd gone through. And then, when the Lord left them, Peter instigates a work bee. A work bee. I'm sure we're going to have some work bees coming up. You busy bees, you. We had lots of work bees last year and got a lot done. Maybe Peter was just tired with the rest of the disciples of each other's company, hiding out, being stuck in the upper room together for so long. Most likely, though, they never had any money. They hadn't been able to go out fishing, make a living. The Lord had been taking care of them for the last 3.5 years. And it was Judas that held the money. That's like putting a wolf amongst the chicken pen, isn't it? And they said, the Bible said he was a thief. Probably helped himself to a few shekels along the way. But the Lord took care of them for 3.5 years. They left their chosen professions to follow Jesus. And he provided all their needs. But remember, the Lord will always provide for your needs. You'll never want for anything. He'll always provide for your needs as long as you put him first. If you put the Lord first, he'll take care of you. Amen? Anyway, these men were most likely very hungry. They'd been going without regular meals because they were hiding out from their enemies. Plus, the only way that they knew how to earn a living was go back to what they were doing before they started hanging out with Jesus. Fishing. Fishing. That's what they did best. But their optimism began to wane when they did go out fishing that night. In the fishing boat, they'd worked all night, but they didn't catch anything, not even a colt. They knew that nighttime was the right time, not just to be with the one you love, but to go out fishing. Why? Because that's when the shoals of fish would come closer to shore at night. They knew the fish would be there. These were expert fishermen. That's why they fished at night. Strangely enough, though, that night, there weren't any fish. Not a one. If they were, they weren't showing themselves. Very strange. Very strange indeed. You know, and they must have been very, very tired. They'd been toiling all night. They'd been working all night, trying to catch one fish. Not a one. Frustrated. Tired. No fruit for their labors, for their hard work. And then to add insult to injury, there was some stranger on the shore asking them a question that they didn't want to hear. Let's have a look at verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. And then he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" In other words, I'll paraphrase. "Hey, boys, did you catch anything?" He knew they didn't, because he knows everything. And they frustratingly replied, different tones of voice, frustratingly, "No." "Hey, boys, you catch anything?" "No." And then this fellow had the nerve to start giving them orders. Who does he think he is, anyway? Verse 6. "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. "Hey, boys, why don't you throw the net over the other side of the boat? You might catch something." Well, imagine. They're thinking, they're saying to one another, "Who does this guy think he is anyway? We've been doing this thing all our lives, and he's telling us what to do. This fellow comes out of nowhere, tells us the way to fish. But anyway, we'll just show him how wrong he is. Let's just throw the net on the right side of the boat, just to prove him wrong. Take him down a peg or two, because he thinks he knows better than us how to fish. Something we've been doing since we were kids." So what did they do? They did exactly what this stranger told him to do. And when they did, they're in for a complete shock. He was right. Because the net was so full of fish, they were unable to haul it in the boat. So, the point is, obedience always has its rewards. Obedience to God always has its rewards, even though they did it reluctantly. So then one of the disciples, who happens to be John, who wrote this account of what actually happened that morning, apparently he had better eyesight than the rest of them. He could just barely make out this stranger on the shore, this man on the beach, that it was not just a man, but it was Jesus himself. And people need to know that Jesus is not just a man, which he was, but he is God incarnate. He is God in the flesh. And only a person who is truly saved can truly believe that and say that Jesus is God. Do you believe that? He is. And John recognized him. Look at verse 7. And he always described himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He had a special relationship with Jesus. But Jesus loved all of them equally. Verse 7. Then the disciple, he's talking about himself, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him. It's like a shirt, for he'd taken it off. And then he jumped into the water, plop. Immediately, went right in. "It's the Lord," John says. Now, having heard John say that, impetuous Pete does what he always did the best. He just dives in without a second's thought, leaving the others to deal with the fish. "Forget you guys, I'm going." Boom, straight in, plop. He just loved the Lord. He just wanted to be with the Lord. He did what he did best. Dive right in, leaving the others to deal with the fish. Why? Because he had bigger fish to fry. Jesus, he took priority over everything else. Jesus took priority over everything else. He left them, he left the fish, he left the boat. He just wanted to be with the Lord. You know, and the Lord always has to come first. He should. Amen? Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Put the Lord first. He'll take care of everything else, I promise you. That's a promise from God. Let's have a look at verse 8. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. So the Lord had prepared breakfast that morning. Didn't know the Lord could cook. He could. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with a fish cooking on it. And some bread, it says. Great. Oh, there's some flapjacks as well, guys. There's some flapjacks. Yummy. And here we have probably the first ever men's breakfast. Jesus was a cook that morning. I bet he was the best cook. And the menu, what was on the menu? Not eggs, not bacon, not pancakes. Definitely not bacon, they're Jewish. You know. Jews don't eat pork. Can't beat a good piece of crispy bacon. No, Jesus had prepared a fish fry. A fish fry for his friends. You try saying that 3 times. Try trying it once. He prepared a fish fry for his friends. And it was on hot coals. Hot coals. Talk about global warming, huh? Peter was the first to meet the Lord. And the last time that he stood over a fire of hot coals was the night when he denied the Lord. He denied he even knew the Lord. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. But no hard feelings here. No harsh words of rebuke for Peter. That betrayed him. Well, not betrayed him, but he denied him. Judas betrayed him. He didn't rebuke Peter. He forgives us. Just a friendly greeting and an offering to break bread with him, with his old friend. And this goes to show the Lord that, you know, if we confess our sins, he forgives us. And he forgets about the past. He desires to have fellowship with us. He will always give us a second chance. And it's wrong to remember what God has already forgiven and forgotten. You may remember it, and some people may bring things up. But as far as God is concerned, he's forgotten it and he's forgiven it. As far as the east is from the west, he remembers our sins no more. And it's wrong to keep bringing it up. Forget the past and move on. Because God's forgotten, so should we. And verse 11. So Simon, Peter, he climbed back in the boat and he dragged the net ashore, and it was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Apparently they needed more fish because probably Peter ate the first batch that Jesus cooked. And Peter helped his fellow fishermen to haul in the catch, a huge catch, which John apparently counted. He tells us here, he said there was 143 fish. Not small ones, as I say, down south, not little ones. Not littlins neither. But big uns, large ones. When Jesus turned the water into wine, it was the best wine. And when he fed over 5,000 people, there was an abundance of leftovers. Because God always gives us the best of everything. Amen? He gives us the best. Christian life is the best life. And he gives us abundant life. He gives us spiritual life, not just eternal life in heaven, but abundant life on earth as well. Praise the Lord. Christian life is the best life you can have. Once you have Jesus, you have everything. You have everything, all that you need. And he'll provide for all your needs. For all you need in this life and in the life to come. Do you have Jesus Christ this morning? Do you have Christ this morning? Does he have you? Let's look at verse 12. We're almost getting to the end. Jesus says to them, "Come and have breakfast." And none of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. "Come and have some breakfast." And they did have breakfast together. But they never said a word. It could be that they were eating. We know that they were, and enjoying the meal together, and they were concentrating on the food, not the conversation. Because if you're talking too much, you know, the food's getting cold. But just imagine, they were sitting there eating food with the Lord Jesus, who had recently been crucified on the cross. And they could see the effects of that ordeal in his hands and his feet, the holes where the nails went in and pierced him, and they would have gone in here, right there. They wouldn't have gone in there because it would have just torn his hands apart. That's where they put the nails in. That's part of his hand there, impaled on the cross. And there he was. And they're having breakfast with the Lord, and they could see these holes in his hands. And his feet. And anything that they may have said was meaningless compared to how they must have felt that morning. They were overjoyed with happiness being with the Lord, yet overwhelmed with emotion, probably weeping, silent tears running down their hardened faces. Remembering what he suffered. So they didn't have to say, "Who are you? Are you really the Lord?" They knew it was him. There was nothing more to be said. Sometimes, and more often than not, it's best not to say anything. So verse 13. And Jesus came, he took the bread and gave it to them. And then he did the same with the fish. He took the bread and the fish and he gave it to them. Just like he did on the night he was betrayed. He took the bread and gave it to his disciples. They'd eaten many times together in the past 3.5 years. But this time it was different. They ate in silence, remembering those times that they'd eaten together as friends. And we should cherish the times that we spend with our friends and our family while we're still able to do it. Because life will soon be over, and all you're left with is your memories. So make them good memories. Soon there'll be an empty chair at the table, and it might be yours. So love one another. Love one another. Life is too short to hold grudges. Final verse. And this was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Third time. Irrefutable proof that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead after dying on the cross and being put in a tomb. The question is, do you believe that? And if you don't, then you're not saved from your sins. And if you're not saved from your sins, you're still obviously lost, a sheep without a shepherd, and Jesus is the good shepherd. And regardless of whether people believe it or not, it doesn't alter the fact that he did it. Not only did he rise from the dead, being witnessed by many hundreds of people, he also went bodily into heaven after he gave his disciples the promise that the Holy Spirit would come and a prediction that he would return. And you can read that in Luke 24. I'm not going to read it right now. So to conclude then, millions of people have heard and believed the gospel over the last 2,000 years. They've turned from their sin to the Savior to receive forgiveness in his name, all because of what he did, along with what the disciples did after he ascended into heaven. They started out as fishers of fish, but then they became fishers of men, and they turned the world upside down. But for a brief moment in time, on that beach, one early morning, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, they were with the Lord. Just like that great haul of fish that they brought in that morning, not one of those fish was lost. And all those like us that have placed our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins, not one of us will be lost, because we're in good hands. Jesus says, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost, and no man shall pluck them out of my hands. The hands that today still bear the evidence of his life, death, and resurrection. Today, there is a man in heaven with his glorified body. And one day we'll see the holes in his hands and his feet that bear the marks for our redemption. And we'll see him face to face. And we'll be able to eat with him as well. Not just breakfast, but supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Why? Because he's the bridegroom, and we are his bride, the church. And I'd like to close in the book of Revelation, chapter 19. I'll just read it, and then I'm going to finish. Brand spanking new Bible here. Verse 5. And then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small. And then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah. For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. And fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. One day we're going to eat supper with the Lord. What a day that will be. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you so much for this true story that your disciple John wrote. There was an eyewitness of what happened that morning. And one day we'll see the evidence of your crucifixion, because one day we too will have a glorified body and we'll be in your presence forevermore. And the best is yet to come. And we thank you so much for your sacrifice to bring us to God. The fact that you rose again from the dead, that you forgive us of our sins as far as the east is from the west. You remember them no more. Help us to love one another, to be gracious to one another like you were. Even with Peter, whom you loved and you knew denied you 3 times, but you bared no ill will. And you bear us no ill will. You want the best for us. You give us abundant life on earth and a home in heaven. And help us to put you first in all things and to cherish our times together before we meet you in glory, where one day we will eat the marriage supper of the Lamb with you. Thank you for our time. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people to be here today. In Jesus' name, the name which is above every name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.